You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Listen, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I love talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So often, it's so easy to identify with God the Father. We get fatherhood. God the Son, we get sonship. But man, to identify with God the Holy Spirit, that's a whole different ballgame. And that's why you don't hear a lot of people talk about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Just like God the Father and God the Son are one but two different personalities, two different individuals, but they are one. The Holy Spirit is also individual, but one. And people say, well, how can God be? Is that three gods? No, it's only one God. We have to understand the unity between God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what I've seen my Father do. The Holy Spirit says, I only testify about Jesus. They are one in unity. Totally one. It is one God we serve. One God that we worship. But he expresses himself in three different ways, and he does that for our benefit, not his. Let me say it again. He does that for our benefit. When a human being named Adam, the first Adam, sinned and rebelled against God and gave over the authority of the earth over to Satan and introduced sin into the world, everybody born of Adam is now born into sin. And because God gave the authority to a man over the earth, God gave the authority to man in order to reconcile or get the relationship back right with man, another man had to come who was perfect and sinless and die for the sins of rest of humanity. That's why he had to send Jesus. That's why God manifested himself in the form of a human being, but from a virgin birth, because his Father was God. So he's fully God and fully man. And he had to come in that man suit because a man lost it, a man had to get it back. The Bible calls him the second Adam that came. And the first Adam was rebellious, the second Adam was obedient. And the one that was obedient is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins. He paid the price to get authority back, but the authority didn't go to a normal man like another Adam. It went to Jesus, who will never, ever sin and ever, ever violate the relationship with God. And so we have a forever word. That's why we're promised forever life, eternal life, because Jesus will never, ever violate his relationship with God, because they are one. One in purpose, one in thought, one in identity, one in personality. It just expressed differently. And then Jesus said something so powerful in John 16:7 that I've read it to you over and over again, and I want to read it to you again. John 16:7 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." I'm going to stop at that because that blows my mind. Like, he's talking to the apostles. They know he always tells the truth. So why does he have to emphasize that I'm telling the truth? He has to say that because he's like, I'm emphasizing this because you're not going to believe what I'm about to say. And you need to believe it. So you know I always tell the truth. So instead of starting it off like, hey, I just want to tell you something and just say it, he emphasizes, listen, I'm not playing around here. This is the absolute truth. You know I always tell the truth because I am the truth. And so I'm telling the truth, but I want to emphasize it to you because it's going to be very hard for your minds to catch this and to believe this. This is what he said. It is to your advantage that I go away. That's like why would it be to my advantage for Jesus Christ not to be living and breathing, sleeping next to me, eating with me, walking around? Why would that be to my advantage? That's why he had to emphasize. Listen, this is real. It's the truth. It's to your advantage. Why? He said, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. We've talked about this, that it's to our advantage. Listen, if Jesus was on the planet today, and people say this all the time, I think I've said this before, Jesus, just let me talk to you face to face for 30 seconds, 1 minute, whatever it is. Let me just have some time with you face to face because I got some questions I'd really like an answer to. Anybody else ever thought that? Anybody else thought, man, I wish I was around when Jesus, I'd be right there with the apostles and right there with the disciples. I wonder if we'd be right there when they were being stoned to death, hung upside down, boiled in a vat of oil. Yeah, we'd all be there for the good times, right? For the miracles, but I wonder. But anyway, you know, we think that way, and I just want to give you an example. If Jesus Christ was on the earth today in Israel, how many people do you think, if Jesus is preaching and doing miracles in Israel today, how many people around the world do you think are going to Israel to see Jesus? Shout a number at me. Come on, no one has a thought. There's no right or wrong answer. What? Everyone, 7 billion. Well, let's just say 2 billion go. 2 billion go to see Jesus. Now, if you're in that pile of people, when do you think you're going to get your chance to talk to him face to face? If you're in line and they say, everybody gets 1 minute with Jesus, and your number, 1,700,000,000, you know, 480, you know, 607,000 person, when do you think you're getting that time? It's going to be years upon years upon years upon years upon years upon years. And then you get, what, 1 minute, 60 seconds? If Peter's there, he says, as soon as you step up, he goes, oh, if you don't have something to say, quick, get out of line. Get next. Get back in the back. You know, he's going to be running people. St. Peter, he's got them rolling. But, you know, and so, guys, listen, that would be an impossible situation for each one of us to be able to, I don't even know if we have a sound system that would carry for 2 billion people listening, that we could even hear his teachings. We'd have to hear from the 100 million people in front of us, hey, did you just see what Jesus did? No, I can't see nothing. You know, all these tall people from Africa and around the world are in front of me. I can't see anything. You know, I mean, you're not going to experience him. It's going to be impossible to have a conversation or have to any time. And then you get maybe what? If you got in front of the line and you got 60 seconds, would that be enough? You get 60 seconds with Jesus and you never hear from God again after that? That's why he said, it's to my advantage, to our advantage that he goes away, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit, who speaks every single language on the planet, can be everywhere all at once, ministering to people 365 days a year. Every minute, every second, he is available and ready, and you can talk to God, the Holy Spirit. See, we forget he is not God the it. It's not God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy. That's how we see him. God the Father, God the Son, and then God, Jesus is right next to God, and then the Holy Spirit's somewhere down here. That's how most people see the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one. He is God the Holy Spirit, and he wants to live inside of you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. God the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that he's talking about, that he will send to us to minister to us and through us. And he wants to do both. He wants to minister to us and through us. But, man, you just don't hear a lot of people talking about God, the Holy Spirit. You just don't hear it. We don't hear enough teaching on the Holy Spirit. I grew up, I don't even know if I ever heard his name. Maybe in a movie with a Catholic priest, or I went to, you know, I had Catholic friends and they'd invite me to different things and I'd hear God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I never heard any teaching on anything about the Holy Spirit. Nothing. And that's why he's the God that most people don't know. And guess what? Jesus isn't on the planet. Where is Jesus? He's seated in heavenly places with the Father. So who's God on the earth? Who's the one want to speak to you? Who's the one that's teaching? Who's the one that's moving? It's God the Holy Spirit. So if you reject God the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to hear anything. Because he's the one that Jesus sent to us. And a lot of people reject him. People reject him for a couple reasons. One, they just don't know. I just didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I might have heard his name once or twice, but I had no idea who the Holy Spirit was or how he operated. And so out of ignorance, I rejected the Holy Spirit. But there's people who out of false teaching have rejected the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Who's saying it to the churches? That's in Revelations to the seven churches. The Spirit's speaking. And this is what it says. If you don't correct thus, thus, and this and become an overcomer and overcome these issues, he said, if you don't do it, I'll take your lampstand. What's the lampstand? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's leaving. And that's what we've seen in a lot of denominationalism. We're seeing a major decline of attendance. I know so many churches right now, in the next 10 to 15 years, their congregation is so elderly that in the next 10 to 15 years, there'll be hardly anyone left in the church. There's no life left there. And when there's no life, there's no children's ministry, youth ministry, there's no children, there's no families, there's no one getting saved, there's no one getting restored, there's no outreach, there's no feeding people, loving people, caring for people, there's none of that's taking place because there's no life there. Because the Holy Spirit is not there. Why is he not there? I'll tell you why. If Richard comes to my house and knocks on my door and I open my door and I go, oh, darn, Julie, it's that Richard Marcus guy. What do you want? Matter of fact, and he says, well, can I come in? No, you can't come in my house. Get out of my house. Matter of fact, I don't even want you on my porch. Get out of here, Richard. Now, Richard coming back to my house? Richard want to be around me? I've disrespected Richard. I've rejected Richard. I've not been hospitable. I've not even been hospitable. Not even close to nice to Richard. So the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, do not reject him. Do not reject the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve him and do not reject him, because when he's grieved and he's rejected, he does the same thing Richard's going to do. Richard isn't going to go, oh, pastor, pretty please, like me. No, Richard's going to get in his truck and drive away. He's not insecure where he needs my approval for anything. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Holy Spirit. He's not insecure like that where he needs our approval. He's coming to help us. And if you don't want it, he'll move on and help someone else. And the Old Testament says, God's looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong to someone whose heart is loyal to him, that is welcoming to him, that receives him. So when we reject the Holy Spirit, we're rejecting God's move on the earth in our life, and he'll withdraw. Now, I've got some good news for you if you've ever done that. Or you're doing that right now, you're thinking, this Holy Spirit stuff, that's just kooky, crazy, whatever you're thinking. Or my church that I grew up in taught this Holy Spirit stuff was evil, ungodly. Can I tell you something? That is so unscriptural. They accuse Jesus of being the devil, and right now they accuse the move of the Holy Spirit being from Satan. The exact same thing they said about Jesus, they're saying about the Holy Spirit. Now, can people get in excesses and be fanatics and be an excess? Man, people take everything. They'll pervert anything. And Satan will help them. But I'm talking about everyday Christians that are yielding to God. We're not crazy because we're moved by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit moves through us. And so he doesn't drive you crazy. He leads you. He leads you to the knowledge of God. That's what he does. And so, But you can't keep rejecting him and expect him to speak into your life. And so many people, because of wrong teaching or a lack of teaching, do not acknowledge, do not yield to, or do not appreciate the move and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. And it's time we welcome him, because he's the one operating here. Instead of rejecting him, we need to receive him and acknowledge that he is God on the earth. And I love it that he wants this relationship with us, that he wants to live in and work with and work through our lives. But he needs us to be in partnership with him. He will not force his way on us. We have to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. And we can't keep rejecting him and expect him to hang around you. If people keep rejecting the Holy Spirit, that's why people said, Pastor Troy, you talk about hearing from God. I'm like, yeah, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I believe. I know his voice. In his voice, and this is how I know that it's when it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wrote this Bible. Everything he says agrees with the Word of God. I don't have to think, well, you know, he told me to go jump off a cliff. That's the Holy Spirit told me to jump off. I know he's not going to do that. Why? Because I know what the scripture says. When Satan tempted Jesus to jump off the temple, what did he say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know the scripture. The Holy Spirit will never tell you something that's contrary to this word. That's how you know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's always in agreement with the book he wrote about Jesus called the Bible. That's where people get goofy. They say the Holy Spirit told them to do something that's not in the Word. He'll never tell you to do something that's not in the Word. He wrote the Word. So he'll never be in contradiction to the Word. Ever. And so it's real important that we understand that it's an incredible advantage for us to be in the flow of the Holy Spirit and understand who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I want to show you this same scripture, John 16:7, in the Amplified version of the Bible. The Amplified uses the Greek text and gives you more definitions of the words. It says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby, otherwise he stands by you, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So what is it talking about? Fellowship, 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 fellowship. Fellowship, it's a relationship. Matter of fact, we're going to look at a scripture here in a moment that talks about how God wants us to commune with the Holy Spirit. That for that first definition of communion, which is koinonia in the Greek, is fellowship. The next one is partnership. The last one is intimacy. That's what that word means. He wants us to be in fellowship, partnership, and intimate with who? The Holy Spirit. Not like the right arm of God. No, he is God the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. But we don't hear teaching. We don't hear things about him. So people freak out when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Can I say something to you? What is very uncommon now was very common in the New Testament when the church was birthed in the book of Acts. What was common then should be common now. And how did God begin? How did Jesus begin the early church? Oh, man, he started with what? Go with me to, I'm skipping ahead here, guys. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Yeah, well, do you have Acts chapter 1 loaded up for me? Because I'm skipping way ahead. You got it? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll look at 1 through 4, I think it is. Can we pop that up? I know I'm throwing them off here. Thank you, guys. That's 4. Can we go to verse 1 through 4? Acts 1, 1. There we go. Thank you. The former account I made to Theopolis of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. This is what Jesus began to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit. Who? had given commandments to the apostles. Now, so he said, until the day which he was taken up, after he threw who? So after he was taken up, Jesus moves through who? The Holy Spirit. So if you reject the relationship and the move of the Holy Spirit, who are you rejecting? Jesus, God the Son, God the Father. You're rejecting God. That's why it's so, that man, there is not enough teaching about the Holy Spirit. Can you see that why Satan would resist the teaching of the Holy Spirit? Because he knows that what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. You don't have to put that up there. I'm going to go back to this. It says this: I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So that's exactly what Satan doesn't want you to experience and don't want you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, so you have no power in your life. You don't understand true sacrificial love, because if you don't understand that, then you can't give your life away. You become a taker instead of a giver of your life, and then you lose your life, and Satan knows it. Then, without the self-discipline of the Holy Spirit, I tried to change so many things in my life on my own. But it wasn't until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and developed a great relationship with the Holy Spirit that I was able to operate in enough self-discipline to change what I needed to change. It was by the self-discipline of the Holy Spirit. So you can't make changes, you can't add things to your life that you want to add or eliminate things to your life without a relationship being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't really understand agape, life-giving, giving your life away kind of love. And so you're not going to make changes and do things you need to do. And you're not going to give your life away. You're going to live selfishly without that. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, your life is going to be powerless and hopeless, dead and dry, just like so many Christians end up being and so many churches end up acting this way. I've watched this little church for years, and man, now I see signs, and I've watched them, and I knew this was coming, because when a church is not full of the life of the Holy Spirit, no one's getting saved, nothing good's happening, and they're not doing any good in the community. They're not, you know, serving and blessing. Now they're a messianic church. I've watched several churches here in town. What does that mean? They think they're Jews. So they've gone back to the Old Testament, and now they're practicing the Passover. They're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this. But it's so funny, they want to act like Jews and still claim Jesus. If you still want to do all the festivals and stuff of the Jews, what they did, then you have denied Christ as Lord, because he fulfilled all the sacrifices. He fulfilled all the feasts. He fulfilled everything of the Old Testament. All we have to do now is love and have a relationship with him. Amen. We don't need all that. Read the book of Galatians, and Paul, the best Jew of Jews, just takes that subject on and just wipes it out. He says, if you're going to go back and do that, he said, if you're going to go back to circumcision, he said, this is what Paul said. This is in the Bible. Okay? This is in the Bible. He said, if you're going to go back to circumcision and make everybody get circumcised, he said, for those of you teaching that, why don't you just cut everything off? That's what Paul said. And guess who told him to say it? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit told him to say that. Why? Because he's trying to expose how religion is dead and kills and is worthless. But relationship with God is exactly what he's always wanted. He's always wanted a relationship. That's all he's ever wanted. Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe, holy and righteous, perfect, beyond our comprehension, wants a relationship with us? I only understand it because he's a father, and I know how much I love having a relationship with my children, and I want that relationship to always be on good terms. And when it hasn't been, it hurts my heart, man. It hurts my heart. And how I know that I would lay down my life for my kids to know Jesus. I would give anything for them to love and serve Jesus. And they do, but man, if they didn't, I would lay down my life easily. That's how I understand God the Father, God the Son, and why he did what he did, because I'm a father. I'm a dad. And he created us, and he wants to have a relationship with his kids. But sin stands in the way, so he solved the problem with Jesus. And then after Jesus solved the problem, he sent the Holy Spirit to teach us that he solved the problem. And then teach us that the problem has been solved. So now let's live and let's go tell everybody with power, love, and self-discipline about Jesus and how we live our lives. Just daily live our lives. By the power, love, and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what that's about. But let's keep reading. In Acts, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Next verse. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Next verse. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Next verse. For John truly baptized with water, men baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So there's two baptisms that most people don't know about. I never heard of two. I heard of baptism by water. Even before I was saved, I knew about that. I knew about that because my mama made me get baptized. She told my brother Steve and I, we're going to this church, and they said that I have to be baptized and you have to be baptized to be a member of this church. So you guys are going to get baptized. And we said, okay. We weren't even saved. We didn't know Jesus. We didn't know nothing. Everything the preacher said to us, we just shook our head like, well, whatever. I don't care what you say. Mama told us to be here and mama told us to do this. We're not doing it because we love Jesus. We're doing it and we're not doing it for you, Pastor. We're doing it because my mama told us and she'd be mad if we don't. Period. It meant nothing. All I did was get wet. It meant nothing to me. It meant nothing to me. I was obedient to my mama. That's all I did. Didn't want her to be mad at me. And so we did it, but it meant nothing. Listen, when it means nothing to you, it means nothing to God. But he said, you need to be baptized with water. And when after I received Jesus Christ as Lord and the Holy Spirit sowed life into my spirit, I got water baptized. And then I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Two different baptisms that took place. Two different baptisms Jesus is talking about that he experienced himself when he was baptized by John. Who showed up? The Holy Spirit. So he got baptized by John, baptized in the Spirit, and there we go. You mean Jesus had to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. He told John, I got to do everything to fulfill what I'm asking people to do. I got to do because Jesus is the greatest leader that ever lived. He led by example. And so he showed us the example. And then we know in Matthew 4 that he was led by the Spirit. Who led him? The Holy Spirit. Who led Jesus out of Galilee? He said he left with power in the Spirit. When he read Isaiah in the temple, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to, and then he started naming all the things, preach the gospel, deliver the captives, heal the brokenhearted. I mean, he started ministering about, and what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord anointed me. The Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ himself is being led by the Spirit to even preach. To move with power. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. Why? As an example to us. That this is how you're to live as a Christian. Being led by the Spirit. Operating by the power of the Spirit. Operating by the self-discipline of the Spirit. Matter of fact, it's the Spirit that helps you put to death the deeds of the flesh. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot say no to your flesh. You can't. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you do that. To say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. It's the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. It's the Holy Spirit. And then what happens to him? Wow. The Holy Spirit moves. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says this. Exactly what Jesus said was going to happen happens. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Next verse. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Next verse. And they were all, who was filled? All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance as the Spirit gave it to them, not forced it upon them. He gave it to them. It's a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled. There was about 150 in that room, not just the apostles, men, women, and children, all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about, baptism of the Holy Spirit. John baptized by water, but he said, I will baptize you with fire of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. The love, the ministry, the self-discipline of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. I encourage you to start reading the book of Acts and start noticing, underlining in your Bible. If you can't underline on your Bible, you need to get a different Bible that you can write in. Let me say it again. If you have a Bible you can't write in, put that one aside. Get another Bible you can write in, because you need to be marking, reading, writing in your Bible. It's a study tool. God gave us it to study. I have all kinds of notes in my Bible. And he, listen, and I would encourage you, take a marker and mark how many times the Holy Spirit's talked about, either him, he, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever. Mark it how many times in the book of Acts. How many times? I think he talks about the Holy Spirit 19 times in the book of John alone. Why? Because he knew already that he was leaving, and who was coming was the Holy Spirit. Last verse I'm going to share, and we're done. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 13:14, because we're going to pick up here. Not next Sunday, because my brother, Pastor Steve, is going to be here next Sunday. He's going to preach. Amen? Yeah, you can come on, you can celebrate that, man. He's an incredible minister. And then I'll be back the following Sunday. But 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the love of God, in the communion of the... be with you all. Amen. So he talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God. Then who does he say you have communion with? The Holy Spirit. And that word communion means the same thing as he said before. It means fellowship, partnership, and intimacy. That's the word that's there. That's the word. Koinonia is the Greek word. That's the word. And that's what we're going to talk about. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the partnership of the Holy Spirit, and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about those things so that we can get to know God the Holy Spirit. And we can commune with him. We can have a relationship with him on the earth. He teaches, he guides, and directs us. Oh, paths of righteousness. He directs our life and gives us direction to go left or right or straight ahead. Man, he'll teach you things that you've never even thought of before. He'll show you things to coming in the future that you could never know without the Holy Spirit. He wants a personal, intimate relationship with you right here, right now on earth. God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, every eye closed. I know that they're showing this online again because we had a technical malfunction in second service that part of it was missing. But, man, I know there's people here right now, people online, that you're not right with God, and you can't get anything right without God. You know, there's a hole inside of us all that we're born with. The one that the original Adam sowed into every human being from that point forward. There's a hole in us. We are not born spiritually alive. And man, what happens with that hole as we get older, and even as children, man, it's just selfish. Mine, mine, mine. Take, take, take. Give me, give me, give me. And even our service is about us and not about others. Because there's this dark hole that only God can fill. We were designed, I want you to listen to this closely. We were designed to live in the presence and relationship with God. How do I know that? Go back to Genesis. Adam, the first Adam, walked with God in the garden daily. He lived in the presence of God daily. That's what we were designed to do. And when Adam sinned, he broke that relationship. That relationship was broken. But Jesus came back and fixed it. For all of those that believe that Jesus is who he says he is, he did what he said he did. He is who he is right now. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe that and surrender their life to him, the Holy Spirit fills that hole inside of you. When I had that hole in me, all I could think about was more alcohol, more stupidity, more crazy, more drugs, more this, more girls, more. It was always more. It was never enough. Man, it was never enough. The foolishness, things I did, the evil things, it was never enough. There had to be more. There had to be more. Why? Because that hole is empty and dark. It's like a black hole in outer space. You cannot fill it up. There's no light in it. That's why so many people say, man, I wish I could quit that. I wish I could stop. I can't. And they're telling the truth. They can't. Without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit entering your life, you can't. But with him, you can. You can change. He fills the presence. He fills that hole with the presence of God. He saves your life. Then he wants to fill you up with the Spirit. That not only do you have that life, but he empowers you to tell others with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to live with that dark hole inside of us and just live selfish, useless lives, man. He wants to teach us by the power of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to give our lives away. Because only in giving do you really experience life, not taking. Only in sacrificial love, not selfishness, can you actually experience how good this life can be and experience heaven forever. And you can only get that by surrendering your life to Jesus. So if you've never done that and you know what I'm talking about, though on the surface I had everything going for me, I knew that hole was there. I knew I couldn't ever satisfy it. It felt good for a minute and then, wow, it was there again. It's back. It was back for more, demanding more. I was tired of living like that. Had to be something more noble. Had to be something more meaningful than that. I still have friends at 60 that are doing the exact same things we did when we were 14 and 15, 16, 17. Everything's about drinking and partying and this, that, crazy. Still living that same life. Please don't let that be you. Don't let go another day living a selfish life. And only through Jesus can you learn to give your life away. So if that's you, and you want to pray and get right with God, this is your moment, this is your time. He'll save your life. He'll rescue you from yourself. Give you a life worth living and giving away. And then he'll give you heaven. Because he's an eternal God, he's the only one that can give you eternal life. So when you die, you go to a place called heaven forever and live, instead of a place called hell forever. And die forever. Die forever. It's not what he wants for you. But you have a choice. He will not force himself on you. That's what religion tries to do. God's not religious. He's about relationships. So you have to have a choice. He's already chosen that he loves you. Now it's your turn, whether you love him or not, back. But if today you'd say, I've never prayed, but I'm going to today. I, I want what Jesus has. I know that black hole. I want to go to heaven, not hell. I want a life worth living and giving away. I want something of value that only I know Jesus can give me. I'm ready to surrender my life. We want to pray with you right now. Or maybe you've known him and run away and you're watching online, or you're here in this room because you know better. You know better and you just want to come home. Listen, run home. Pray today. Pray right now. Don't hesitate. Man, I'm not talking about physically, when I'm talking about emotionally and spiritually. Run home right now and pray with us. So whether it's your first time or your next time, you want to pray and get right with God, I'm asking you two things. Here's the first one. On the count of three, to raise your hand and say, I'm going to get right with God today. Today is the day I'm getting right with God. Online, if you're watching, send us a message. I'm praying for the first time or the next time on the count of three. And then right after that, we're all going to pray together right where you're seated. Right where you're seated, right where you're at online. So here we go. If you want to pray and get right with God before you leave here, first time or next time, 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand up high and then put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm looking around. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. Last chance. Don't hesitate. If you're not right with God, this is your moment. He loves you so much. He's trying to save you. Don't reject him. It'll harden your heart. Last moment. Anybody else, just jump in here right now. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, let's pray, church. Pray this with me, and those online, pray too. Say this. Say, God, I believe that you are God and God alone, and that you love me. You sent Jesus to save my life from myself, from sin, in the penalty of sin. And I thank you for that. And I believe he did die on the cross. I believe that you raised him from the dead and he's alive. And because I believe that, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins, all my rebellion against you that has hurt my life and hurt others around me. And I receive your forgiveness. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my whole life. And I receive the life of the Holy Spirit gives me now on the inside. And I thank you. By your word and by your spirit, you teach me how to really live, to do your will, fulfill your purpose, my destiny that you created me to do in this life until I see you in heaven forever. Thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God. Come on, church, let's thank him.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.